From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
To Washington Watch. Coming up, President Biden is on the road selling his more than $4 trillion spending plans that are now billed as measures for infrastructure and the family. But the details of the plan show they are laying the foundation for driving America towards socialism, not critical infrastructure.
So my plan provides a universal preschool for every 3- and 4-year-old in America. Everyone. That's a game changer. It's a game changer.
We'll talk about it with Pennsylvania Congressman Scott Perry. And over the weekend, Secretary of State Antony Blinken was on 60 Minutes. Among the topics, China.
Our purpose is not to contain China, to hold it back, to keep it down. It is to uphold this rules-based order that China is posing a challenge to. Anyone who poses a challenge to that order, we're going to stand up and defend it.
Is the administration holding China accountable? We'll talk with Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton later here on Washington Watch. And speaking of Secretary of State, still more fallout over the revelation that former Secretary of State, now Windsor, John Kerry, alerted the Iranian foreign minister to covert actions by our ally Israel. Republicans are calling for the State Department Inspector General to look into the shocking revelations. Kentucky Congressman Andy Barr, member of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, is here with those details. And back on President Biden's American Family Plan, or his push for government daycare, will parents who discovered the politicization of the curriculum during the public school lockdown support early childhood indoctrination? We'll talk about it with Kelsey Bowler, senior policy analyst at the Independent Women's Forum, later here on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on the free speech platform of Gab, it's at Tony_Perkins. Washington Watch audience continues to grow rapidly and is now being offered on many new platforms, airing on various networks, including American Family Radio, Bot Radio, CSN Radio Network, Kingdom Keys Radio Network, His Channel, and many other independent stations. And the latest to join the Washington Watch family is Liftable TV, which is available through video streaming apps like Roku, Apple TV, Amazon Fire TV, and Chromecast. If you have Liftable TV, you can find us at TonyPerkins.tv. We continue to expand it. We also have our own app, Stand Firm app. You can download it in the App Store. All right, my first guest says President Biden is acting like an irresponsible person who just got their first credit card. But the charges that the president is racking up are in the trillions. And the ones who will be paying for it will be the American public, now and future generations to come. He and his team are on the road this week trying to sell his infrastructure plan and welfare bills that will cost taxpayers over $4 trillion. All of this being spent, by the way, in the name of jobs. I go back to last week when he spoke to Congress. Here's what he had to say. Everything is about jobs.
And the process will create thousands and thousands of good-paying jobs. The American Jobs Plan will help millions of people get back to their jobs and back to their careers. The American Jobs Plan is going to create millions of good-paying jobs, jobs Americans can raise a family on. And it raises revenue to pay for the plans I propose and will create millions of jobs that will grow the economy. What I'm proposing will help create millions of jobs and generate historic economic growth. The consensus is if we act to save the planet, we can create millions of jobs.
By my count, we'll now have more jobs than American people. But based upon the price tag, we'll all need 2 or 3 jobs just to pay for it. Joining us now to talk more about this, Pennsylvania Congressman Scott Perry represents the 10th Congressional District of Pennsylvania. He is also a member of the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. Congressman, welcome back to the program. Oh, I think we got a technical challenge getting him connected. He'll be joining us in just a moment to take a deeper look at what the president is proposing under this job plan. Joining us now is, as I mentioned, Scott Perry, Congressman for the 10th Congressional District. Congressman, welcome to the program.
Hey, Tony. Great to see you. And as you can see, we're actually driving on one of the great Pennsylvania roads that could use some attention from an infrastructure plan. But instead, we're going to spend, I don't know, $400 billion on elder care. Now, that might be an issue that we need to talk about, but it's not infrastructure. And it neither is the billions of dollars that we're going to be spending on green children's lunches in school, and the $10 billion spent to create a civilian climate corps, and numerous other things. Tony, as you probably know, only about 9% of this infrastructure bill actually goes to what people believe and feel is an actual infrastructure, right? Like the highways, the bridges, airports, ports of entry, and, you know, water, sewer, gas, those type of things. About 9 to 10%. That's it. The rest of the $1 trillion is spent towards other kind of jobs that have absolutely nothing to do with infrastructure. But, of course, the Biden administration knows that people support infrastructure. So they're going to call all the social spending and all the socialist spending infrastructure, hoping that people won't have a clue what they're actually spending their money on.
Right. And it's all done in the names of jobs. It's going to create millions and millions of jobs, according to the president, as he said last week in his address to the joint session of Congress, in which there was only about 200 people there. The reality is this is going to tax the American people. How are we going to pay for $4.1 trillion in new government programs?
Tony, I have no idea. The Biden administration has said that they don't want a deficit spend, which means that they're going to have to tax their way to $2.3 trillion in infrastructure. But you have to add the other things, the Green New Deal, et cetera, that President Biden spoke about in his address to Congress. I think it's somewhere over $6 trillion, of which there is no plan. We even if you taxed everybody's income and taxed every single bit of it, it wouldn't amount to that much. So it's going to be a combination of taxing everybody and printing the money. And of course, every time they print a dollar that's not backed up by anything, it makes the dollar that you have in your pocket worth a little less than a dollar. And in this case, when we're printing trillions of dollars, that's lost value that American citizens that are hardworking, paying their taxes, have to spend on their own lives. But President Biden, you know, as a progressive, and I don't know how you call this progress, but as a socialist, essentially, doesn't seem to care about that whatsoever.
Well, Congressman Perry, when the president rolled this out a couple of weeks ago, you at that time said you didn't see any bipartisan support for that. Today, the Republican leader in the Senate, Mitch McConnell, said no Republican will be voting for this. They have offered a compromise plan of $600 billion worth of infrastructure spending that trims all of the non-infrastructure spending that is in this bill. That's still a pretty hefty price tag. Do you see the Democrats actually and the president working in a bipartisan way to arrive at a infrastructure bill?
Well, what I see the president doing is actually speaking like he's going to be working towards a bipartisan solution. But based on the past 100 days where he talked about unifying the country and then went on a totally partisan binge of executive orders and legislative agenda items, I think it's just rhetoric, Tony. I don't think they have any interest in whatsoever other than the optics of working in a bipartisan fashion. I suspect that AOC and her acolytes will determine that the Senate proposal is dead on arrival. They must have the Green New Deal and components of that in any infrastructure bill. They won't support it, and they'll kill it in the House. And so I really don't see anything more than rhetoric from the Biden administration regarding bipartisan participation.
It's interesting. You mentioned AOC. She has been singing the praises of the Biden administration, saying that as progressive, they're very, very happy with what they see out of the first 100 days of the Biden administration. And I certainly would think that she's happy with this quote-unquote infrastructure bill because this thing's pretty green.
It is. But, you know, they do have the Green New Deal teed up right behind it. And so that's because this infrastructure package that President Biden offered isn't nearly green enough for AOC. And so the progressive agenda is actually progress towards socialism. It is not about free markets. It's not about our freedoms, and it's not about fiscal responsibility for sure. And it's barely about infrastructure at all. And you don't have to do anything except just read the details to know that, regardless of what President Biden or what AOC has to say. The truth is in what they do.
Now, you mentioned, Congressman Perry, this being over $6 trillion that the administration is spending. When you look at their coronavirus relief, you look at this jobs plan, you look at the quote-unquote American family plan, universal child care and community college free, quote-unquote, those are scare hashtag, you know, free.
Right.
What do you get for free? This is pumping a tremendous amount of money into the economy that was pretty hot and was moving quite well under the tax cuts of the Trump administration. Even some of Biden's own people are saying, well, we might have some inflation. I mean, we're setting the stage for some rapid inflation, and this is going to hurt the very people they say they are championing.
You're absolutely right, Tony. What concerns me is it might be inflation on an unprecedented scale based on the unprecedented scale of the printing of money that we've seen from the administration. And while the stock market might be up, you must realize that it's inflated because there's really nowhere else to put your money. You can't get a return on investment at the bank. And so everybody's pumping money into the stock market or the housing market. But when that bubble bursts, I will tell you what, Tony, it's not going to be like pumping the brakes. It's going to be like slamming the brakes on this economy. And I don't think that most Americans are really ready to see what's going to happen. And they're being told there's no inflation right now, but all they have to do is go to their gas pump and put some gas in the car, and they can see what's happened over the course of the last 100 days. And my goodness, if you go to buy some lumber, you can find out that a 2x4 is going to cost you $8, or a sheet of plywood is going to cost you $100. That's due to the inflation that they're saying is not occurring.
Yeah, I want to play another very quick clip of Joe Biden talking about this. Play clip number two.
In your first 100 days, you proposed $6 trillion in new spending, and you plan to pay for it by raising taxes on people, on businesses, on investments. Why tax and spend so much when the economy is still recovering as a result of the pandemic?
That's the reason why it's recovering, because we're investing. Look how rapidly it's recovered since we passed the last piece of legislation. And that legislation was $1.9 trillion. If we don't invest in this country, we're going to fall behind even further.
Scott Perry, we're up against a break, but the reason it's recovering is because of what the previous administration did in cutting regulation and taxes.
You're absolutely right, Tony. And the other cold water that this administration keeps throwing on it and the left keeps throwing on it is paying people not to work. And I can't tell you in Pennsylvania how many times I've been to a business who was desperate for employees.
Right.
There's help wanted signs everywhere around Pennsylvania, and we are paying people to not go to work.
Yeah.
And that's really having a chilling effect as well. It's just more of the same from these hardcore leftists. Don't be fooled by any of this.
All right, Congressman Scott Perry, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Tony. Have a great day. God bless you.
All right. All right, folks, stick with us. On the other side of the break, we're joined by Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas to talk foreign affairs. We'll be looking at China next. Don't go away.
What is Roe v. Wade and what did it do? The Supreme Court's 1973 decision ruled that abortion is protected under the U.S. Constitution, striking down many state abortion restrictions and severely limiting the extent to which states could write their own abortion laws. The Supreme Court's limitations on states to legislate abortion restrictions depends on the trimester of a pregnancy. For instance, Roe disallows states from restricting abortions in the first trimester, but allows some restrictions on abortions in the third trimester. What Roe doesn't do is require states to have any restrictions. Abortion through all 9 months of pregnancy is the default, unless Congress or the individual states pass laws restricting it. That leaves a lot of room for unrestricted abortions. For a full explanation of how Roe v. Wade liberalized abortion laws, go to frc.org/explainer. That's frc.org/explainer. After the recent wave of media censorship, are you struggling to find a conservative, relevant, and Christian platform where you can find out what's really going on? Here at Family Research Council, we believe that Americans have a right to exercise their freedom of speech and share their stories with the world. If you're ready to hear the facts that the left doesn't want you to know about, then head over to frcblog.com to check out our latest blog posts. We cover a wide range of issues you and your family care about, all written by our policy, government affairs, and biblical worldview experts. We discuss topics that other media platforms won't, like changes in pro-life policy, current events that affect Christians internationally, sexuality from a biblical perspective, and insights into the bigger picture of the shift in American culture. To stay up to date on current news related to faith, family, and freedom, visit frcblog.com. That's frcblog.com.
Would you like to spend more time in God's Word? Then join Family Research Council on an exciting journey through the Bible with their Stand on the Word Bible Reading Plan. FRC's two-year Bible reading plan helps you to approach daily Bible reading with an intentional focus of diving deeper into the nature of God and how His Word speaks into cultural issues. By studying the Bible, we can see the grandeur of God unfold throughout the past. This reading plan takes you through the Bible as events happen in history. Laying out the scripture every day in an engaging manner, it is key to helping us stay grounded in God's truth. All wisdom comes from God, and He has given us the Bible as a way to understand the world. Start reading today with Family Research Council. When you sign up, we text you every Sunday with daily passages and questions that help prepare you for conversations with your friends and family. To begin this journey, visit frc.org/Bible.
Welcome back. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. You're listening to Washington Watch, the website tonyperkins.com. Yesterday, CBS News, the 60 Minutes program, aired its interview with U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken that covered a wide range of issues, including Afghanistan, the southern border, and Russia. Much of the interview, though, focused on China, with 60 Minutes stating from the outset that the Biden administration will be defined by how the United States competes with China. Here's a short clip of what host Nora O'Donnell in her interaction with the Secretary of State on China.
Are the policies of the Biden administration to blame?
No. What we're seeing is indeed a surge of people to the border. We've seen that in the past. But we
actually hold that clip. That's another clip. Let's play clip three.
Our purpose is not to contain China, to hold it back, to keep it down. It is to uphold this rules-based order that China is posing a challenge to. Anyone who poses a challenge to that order, we're going to stand up and defend it.
Are they doing that? Joining me now to talk more about this is U.S. Senator Tom Cotton from Arkansas. He serves on the Judiciary, Intelligence, and Armed Services Committee. Senator, welcome back to the program. Senator, are you there?
Hey, Tony, can you hear me?
I can hear you now. So how is the administration in their first 100 days doing as it pertains to China?
Well, Tony, that answer you just played from Tony Blinken is, I'd say, a little mealy-mouthed, saying that we don't even want to contain China. I guess I would say I don't want to contain China either. I want to defeat China, and in particular, the Chinese Communist Party, which holds itself up as the vanguard of the communist dictatorship, first in China, then ultimately to dominate the world. It's the same kind of mealy-mouthed approach you saw from Tony Blinken and Jake Sullivan in Alaska a couple months ago when they hosted a summit of their counterparts and got dressed down, frankly, repeating all the Democratic talking points you've heard about America being a racist nation and having too many cops kill our own citizens. And rather than go on offense about China's treatment of its own people, it's slave labor and mass rape and genocide against religious and ethnic minorities. It's destruction of Christian churches throughout China. It's suppression of the freedoms of the Hong Kong people, Tony Blinken kind of meekly apologized for America. So at least at the outset, the Joe Biden administration is not doing nearly enough to defend the United States and defend the principles of freedom against the Chinese Communist Party.
Now, I watched the interview on 60 Minutes, and when Nora O'Donnell introduced Secretary Blinken, she said that Biden has selected someone to, quote, rebuild a depleted and demoralized State Department. And then, of course, went on to talk about how what's been missing is this, and Blinken made reference to this, this rules-based international order, oftentimes unwritten. Is the fact that the Trump administration actually put America first, is that what upset the State Department?
Well, Tony, it's an open secret in Washington that Hillary Clinton and John Kerry didn't do much to support the State Department either. They were more what you call the celebrity secretaries of state, and the bureaucrats were unhappy then, just like they're unhappy in the Trump administration. But I do think that a lot of the permanent bureaucrats in the State Department do believe that we should put these globalist rules ahead of America's interests. And in the end, these rules can often benefit America, Tony, but we have to remember that what backs them up is not some pie-in-the-sky idealistic commitments, but American power, the American military, the American economy, and forceful American leadership. That's been lacking over these first 100 days of the Biden administration.
So do you trust, from a negotiation standpoint, do you trust what China says for if we sit down at the table with them?
No, of course not, Tony. And it is very worrisome to me. The first person that Joe Biden sent to China was John Kerry, his climate czar, who is such a great negotiator. He saddled this country with the Iran nuclear deal 6 years ago. So I'm very worried that John Kerry and Joe Biden will give away very concrete things, like, for instance, ceding total Chinese sovereignty over Hong Kong, or even backing away from our commitments to Taiwan, or loosening the tariffs against China's predatory trade practices in return for fleeting, ephemeral future promises. Like, you can just see John Kerry and Joe Biden saying we're going to lift the tariffs on Chinese predatory trade practices in return for China promising to reduce its carbon emissions by 5% in 30 years. I hope that doesn't happen, but that's exactly the kind of thing you could expect to see from this administration.
Those types of actions could be dangerous for America's national security.
It'd be very dangerous, Tony. You know, we're in a long competition with China, and a central part of that competition is economic. China has been stealing our jobs and our factories, stealing our property for decades. We finally, over the last 4 years, began to take a stand for America. But if we roll back those policies, if we go back to the old views under the Obama administration, or frankly under Republican leadership as well, that China is a partner and we want to outsource more jobs to them and we want to become more dependent on them, it is deeply dangerous to our national security. I mean, China already has the market cornered on a lot of essential high-tech goods. We learned over last year that China has the market cornered on a lot of basic low-tech goods too, like ibuprofen or acetaminophen or surgical masks and gowns. We can no longer allow the United States to be dependent on China in any critical industry or for any kind of critical essential good.
And I would think, Senator Cotton, that the other nations, Russia in particular, are watching how we interact with China.
Yeah, I don't think it's a coincidence, Tony, that Russia was massing troops in our Navy around Ukraine while China was doing massive incursions into Taiwanese airspace. They're probing Joe Biden together.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Senator Cotton, it's always great to talk with you. Thanks so much for coming on today.
Thank you, Tony.
All right, Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas. All right, coming up next, talking about former Secretary of State John Kerry, now climate czar or wind czar, is the fact that he leaked information. Well, the report, the revelation that he leaked over 200 times information about sensitive Israeli military operations regarding the Iranians to the Iranian foreign minister. Is it an issue? Well, it is with some Republican congressmen. They're calling for an inspector general's investigation. We talk about it next. Don't go away.
Where do you get your news? Do you have confidence you're getting the full truth? If you want to stay up to date on conservative news and are looking for Christian resources to help you stay politically engaged, then download Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. With all of our content available at your fingertips, you will conveniently be able to stay up to date throughout your busy day. The Stand Firm app will give you access to a variety of resources, such as our most recent radio programs, social media posts, and publications. Additionally, you will have the opportunity to take action and make your voice heard by contacting your elected officials on the issues that most concern you. Visit the App Store on your smartphone or mobile device and search Stand Firm to download Family Research Council's official Stand Firm app. Stay informed with a trusted source. Again, search Stand Firm to download the Stand Firm app.
As the political and cultural landscape of our nation has shifted in a concerning direction, it is so important for Christians to be equipped with biblical answers for the difficult questions of our time. That is why Family Research Council created our Biblical Worldview series. With the political left changing definitions to favor their narrative and to push their agenda, at times it can be hard to decipher what is true. That is why we must hold to the truth of the Bible, which stands the test of time. It holds the truth that does not change. Become equipped to stand firm in the face of cultural and political storms with FRC's Biblical Worldview series. This series dives deep into what the Bible says about some of the most crucial issues of our day. You'll learn what the Bible teaches on abortion, same-sex marriage, the separation of church and state, religious freedom, and the age-old question, should Christians be involved in politics? To access this series, visit frc.org/worldview. That's frc.org/worldview.
All right, yesterday, Iran's foreign minister apologized for the blunt comments that he made to journalists that were leaked to the press last week. However, while his apology was focused on his criticism of Iran's late top general, General Soleimani, and remarks related to the country's internal power struggles, it's his comments related to the U.S. climate czar, or wind czar, John Kerry, that has some in the U.S. calling for an investigation. Now, during the interview, Iran's foreign minister, Zarif, complained that Iran's military has long kept him in the dark on crucial matters and that he had to find out about Israeli attacks against Iranian interest in Syria from none other than John Kerry. Now, in light of this comment, three GOP House Foreign Affairs Committee members wrote the U.S. State Department's Inspector General last Wednesday to demand an investigation into Kerry. Joining me now to talk about this call for an investigation is one of the House members leading the charge, Congressman Andy Barr of Kentucky. He serves, as I mentioned, on the House Foreign Affairs Committee, as well as the Financial Services Committee. Congressman, welcome back to the program.
Tony, great to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
Now, let's talk about this. According to the leaked reports, around 200 times, John Kerry gave sensitive information about Israeli military operations, primarily in Syria, to the Iranian foreign minister. This is quite significant, is it not?
Absolutely. Imagine a U.S. Secretary of State, former Secretary of State, divulging sensitive, perhaps classified, top-secret military-related information to the sworn enemy of the United States and our key ally in the region, the state of Israel. And if these reports are true, then not only did John Kerry undermine our critical American-Israeli alliance, he really turned his back on Israel. He betrayed Israel. And I would argue because Israel is this island of moderation and a democracy in an otherwise very dangerous part of the world, he really threatened U.S. and undermined U.S. National security interests as well. And this is a kind of a pattern for John Kerry. He has a very bad habit of cozying up with the world's leading state sponsor of terrorism. We know this because he's not only the architect of the flawed Iran nuclear deal, but he clearly appears to be, if these reports are true, putting his own personal ego and his interest in salvaging this flawed JCPOA ahead of U.S. national security and certainly above the security of our friends in Jerusalem.
Now, Congressman, do we know the time frame in which these revelations were to have occurred?
Well, we know that that John Kerry has admitted having two conversations with the Iranian foreign minister, Mohammad Zarif, during the period of time when Secretary Pompeo and the Trump administration, the previous administration, was directly in the process of withdrawing from the flawed agreement and reimposing sanctions and initiating a maximum pressure campaign. If that timing, if that timeline is accurate, then we have John Kerry working directly at odds with U.S. foreign policy, something akin to a shadow diplomacy that was actively undermining the official policy of the United States. And look, I mean, that policy of the United States that former President Trump was pursuing was an effort to correct a major error in foreign policy that the previous administration, the Obama administration, had pursued, a policy of appeasement that gave the mullahs in Tehran billions of dollars in cash that enabled them to pursue a ballistic missile testing program and provide a huge injection of cash into the hands of Iran's terror proxies, which were in the process of destabilizing the region. So Iran used the Iran nuclear deal to promote its terrorist goals through proxies in the Middle East. And President Trump was in the process of reversing that when it appears that John Kerry was actively trying to undermine the official policy of the United States, a policy that was intended to and, in fact, did reestablish deterrence against the world state sponsor of terrorism.
So my final question for you, Congressman Barr, is could this, in fact, have been – could he have engaged in illegal activity, something that ran afoul of the law?
Yes, and that's why we believe, we meaning Congresswoman Wagner and Congressman Zeldin, why we wrote to the Inspector General at the State Department. We want to know what the State Department knew and when they knew it. We want to know the status of John Kerry's security clearance. We want to know if, as a result of these leaks and this shadow diplomacy, this disclosure of sensitive military information about our key ally, if that put the Israeli Defense Forces in danger of retaliation. We want to know if there was any attacks, retaliatory attacks launched on our Israeli allies. We need to get to the bottom of this, and we want the State Department Inspector General to take this seriously. It doesn't appear that the current Secretary of State is taking it seriously because he dismissed our calls for an investigation is political. It's not political. It's about loyalty to our ally and defending U.S. national security.
Well, Congressman Barr, we want to find out what you hear back and also find out what is discovered, if in fact there is an investigation. So we want you to come back on and talk about it. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Tony. Appreciate it.
All right. A serious matter, folks. I'll talk a little bit more about this after the break, but also coming up next, universal child care. What does that mean? Well, let me give you a hint. Early indoctrination. We're going to talk about it next. Don't go away.
Get a trusted perspective on the news of the day every day. Listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins to get honest and in-depth commentary on what's going on in our nation's capital and around the world. Join Family Research Council President Tony Perkins live every weekday by tuning into Washington Watch on the American Family Radio Network, Bot Radio, the KTLW Radio Network, and independent Christian radio stations across the country. Or listen to the show when it works for you by visiting TonyPerkins.com.
Since the Supreme Court decided Roe v. Wade in 1973, over 60 million people are now missing from our country due to legalized abortion. Public opinion, our knowledge of law, and scientific advancements demonstrate that Roe should by no means be considered settled law. Roe is an abomination in our country's history. and it's time for the horrendous practice of legalized abortion to end. To learn more about the legal, historical, and cultural reasons to overturn Roe v. Wade, go to frc.org/roe.
The Equality Act sounds like good legislation and something that ought to have bipartisan support, but it doesn't. Why? Because the Equality Act, paradoxically, would spur inequality. It is Trojan horse legislation that would hinder equality and would massively overhaul our federal civil rights framework. The stated purpose of the bill is to prohibit discrimination on the basis of sex, gender identity, and sexual orientation. The real effect of this bill would not be to eliminate discrimination, but to erase the freedom to hold a different opinion. The Equality Act would mandate government-imposed inequality by requiring acceptance of a particular ideology about sexual ethics, while leaving no room for legitimate public debate. Simply put, the Equality Act mandates an anti-life, anti-family, and anti-faith agenda throughout federal law and would be a disaster for all Americans. To learn more about the inequality of the Equality Act, visit frc.org/equalityact.
Since June of 2015, over 12,000 Christians have been killed in Nigeria. This violence has reached a point at which experts are warning of a progressive genocide specifically targeting Christians across Africa's largest and most economically powerful nation. Yet this violence often goes unreported in the media, and if reported, is seriously downplayed. To learn more about what is actually taking place in Nigeria, along with other countries where Christians face persecution, visit frc.org/Nigeria.
Did you know that Planned Parenthood is the biggest abortion supplier in the U.S.? According to Planned Parenthood's most recent annual report, it committed 354,871 abortions in fiscal year 2019, up by over 9,000 abortions since 2018. According to these numbers, Planned Parenthood aborted 972 babies every single day. To learn more about what Planned Parenthood is really doing, visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood Facts.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So good to have you with us. The website, tonyperkins.com. And glad to be on a new platform beginning this week, Liftable TV. You can find out more about that. Go to tonyperkins.com. All right. As I was mentioning, I want to just touch on this before I move to my next topic. The fact that John Kerry may have been having these conversations with the foreign minister of Iran is quite significant during the Trump administration. Of course, this may even preceded that, but just to what Congressman Barr was talking about, if you hold a security clearance, and I happen to have one from my work with the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom, you have to report every contact you have with foreign officials. Everywhere you go, if you have a conversation with a foreign official, you have to report that. On a regular basis, you have to give an account for your travel, conversations. And it'd be very interesting if John Kerry has done that in these, what sounds like an abundance of conversations that he's had with the foreign minister. At a minimum, it would call for the revoking of his security clearance. As Congressman Barr said, may even be criminal what he engaged in. Be interesting to see what happens with the Windsor. All right. President Biden, Vice President Kamala Harris, and members of the administration are fanning out across America to sell their nearly $4.1 trillion infrastructure and family proposals as a part of getting America back on track to, or throwing America under the bus, depending on how you look at it. Of course, the jobs plan, everything's about jobs, going to create millions and millions and millions and millions of jobs. Of course, as I mentioned earlier, we're going to need to have millions and millions of jobs. All of us will have to have two or three just to pay the price tag for all of this stuff. But one of the big focal points, it's like the shiny object for liberals. It is early childhood education. In this case, it is child care, daycare, universal daycare, and community colleges. I mean, they want to make sure they get our kids as early as they possibly can. And probably won't go in this today, but just file this away. We've talked about it before. What happens beginning around the age of 18 months through the age of 12, 13? That's the formation of worldview. That is when young people shape their view of the world and learn to process and think. As Christians, we work to help our children develop a biblical worldview, looking at the world through the lenses of Scripture. Of course, now we live in a world which is totally hostile to that worldview, with a overtly secular worldview. I want to play a clip of what the president had to say last week in his joint session to Congress, where 200 people were out there listening to what he had to say about this aspect of his proposal.
12 years is no longer enough today to compete with the rest of the world in the 21st century. That's why my American Families Plan guarantees 4 additional years of public education for every person in America, starting as early as we can.
Well, with me now to talk about what we know so far about the president's government daycare plan and the problems associated with it is Kelsey Bowler. She is a senior policy analyst at the Independent Women's Forum. Kelsey, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
So, universal child care, good thing, bad thing?
When we say universal child care, we have to remember that that means government child care. That means taxpayer-funded child care. And the research, the evidence to support taxpayers funding universal daycare is very thin. Actually, the Biden administration, in touting this new proposal, was citing a study from back in, I believe, the 1970s or 1980s, and it had a very small sample size. You can read more about that at IWF. We covered it. And the reason is there are no definitive studies that say early education, universal daycares are beneficial to children. In fact, the research suggests the opposite. This is tough for some parents to hear. I have a 1.5-year-old myself and had to adjust my career based on the evidence I was absorbing about early childhood development. But the truth of the matter is that the number one thing that children need at these early ages is a loving mom, the support of their parents. And what the Biden administration and really all of the left wants to do is push moms to give everything they have to the workforce and then pawn off their children to these government-run daycare facilities. The Biden proposal doesn't go so far as to put us in the position of fully funded government run daycares for everyone, but certainly it is a very clear step in that direction. And it does so at the cost of punishing moms who decide to stay home or moms who decide to have an alternative childcare arrangement like I have for myself, where I have a nanny at home. So I'm essentially being punished for prioritizing my child. And then those who want to send their children to government-funded daycare, get these massive, massive subsidies to do that. And the sad thing is, children don't win from this. Children win when women and working moms have flexible work arrangements that enable them to decide for themselves what type of childcare arrangements work for them and their families. And that's why it's important that we as conservatives don't just say no to this proposal, but we point out that we do have solutions that do offer flexibility and choice for working parents. And these most often come in the form of tax credits for parents, so that I as a parent get a tax credit that I can use to fund the childcare arrangement that makes sense for my child and my family.
Well said, Kelsey, but the evidence, I shouldn't say but, well said. Period. The evidence would suggest that during the Trump administration, that flexibility you made reference to appeared to be at work because more women joined the workforce during the Trump years as a result of the tax cuts and the economic growth that we saw.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So another issue that's being raised here by the Biden administration is the fact that we've had over 1.5 million working moms drop out of the workforce since the pandemic hit. And so what does the Biden administration propose to do about this? Well, these massive, massive jobs programs and this massive overhaul of early education. When, you know, I know the mainstream media didn't report on this much because they couldn't give the Trump administration credit for anything, but believe it or not, in 2019, we actually had more women on payroll in the U.S. workforce than men. So women were excelling across the board. Their wages were rising, particularly for those on the bottom quarter of the income spectrum. And companies across the board were offering greater benefits, including maternity leave and sick leave and so and paid family leave so that they could compete for good employees, because the economy was doing so well. They realized, you know, we have to get with the times and start offering good benefits if we're going to attract good employees. And so the free market was working. Women were employed and they were getting more benefits. And now what does the Biden administration propose to do? Not go back to our pro-growth agenda of tax cuts and deregulations. He wants to double down on all these regulations that make it so hard to run a business, to be an employee, and for women to stay in the workforce because they lack that ability to have a flexible work schedule, because Biden wants everybody, every woman and every man in America to have a 9-to-5 union job, which we know, especially for working moms, is not what women want.
Well, and that's not for the benefit of the family. That's for the benefit of them collecting more taxes to pay for the government programs that they say they're giving you. But there's a problem that I think the Biden administration is going to face on this, Kelsey, and the headwinds are the fact that you mentioned the 1.5 million moms that dropped out of the workforce that were there at home with their kids during the public school lockdowns. Many of them discovered for the first time what their kids are being indoctrinated with, and as a result, they don't want any part of this. And if you think about what's happening in our public school system, do you really want to send your toddlers there for early age indoctrination?
You are absolutely right about that. This pandemic has been a huge wake-up call for parents and specifically mothers who are not okay with the indoctrination that's happening in government-run public schools. I used to just call them public schools. I can't anymore because there is so much indoctrination. We need to call them what they are, which is government schools. And this is so unfortunate. I'm a product of public schools. I am proud of that. But I am now looking at these institutions and saying there's no way that I can send my daughter there. I can't trust them, whether it comes to the physical safety, the lowering of the academic standards, or the racial ideology that they are peddling through the classroom. And so that's part of the reason that we've seen so many working moms drop out of the workforce, because they don't trust public education to teach their kids basic math, reading, and science. They are homeschooling or pursuing different types of choice options. And this isn't just going to end when the pandemic ends. We're going to see parents doubling down on school choice, which is why school choice legislation is more important now than ever. That has to happen at the state level. But what Biden is proposing to do would bring us in the complete opposite direction: more government-run schools and less choice for parents and their families.
You mentioned choice, Kelsey, and when Joe Biden, Kamala Harris say, you know, they're speaking for these working moms out there, and they want to give them what they want: early childhood education, universal daycare, community college, 2 years free of that. Is it not choice to make the decisions for themselves and what's best for their children? Isn't that what parents really want?
It is. But the left seems to think that we know better than you. We know better than parents what your children need. send them to these government-run daycares, these government-run schools, these government-run colleges, and they'll be fine. You know, don't worry about it. When really, you know, any good parent wants to be involved in their child's education. And we know that a one-size-fits-all education does not work for the vast majority of children. That is not always a criticism of public schools. That simply means different children have different needs, and different types of schools exist to serve those needs. But what parents need is are more tax credits, are the ability to send their kids to private schools, because often these can come at a great expense. Of course, we know wealthy parents are already practicing school choice. So in essence, when the left denies parents school choice, they are only denying lower income families school choice, because the wealthy ones have already gotten out of there and they will continue to do so.
Yeah, there's no one that has the interest of their children at heart more than parents themselves. Now, I know there's some outliers, but I trust parents to make decisions that are in the best interest of their kids more than I do the government. Without any hesitation, I can make that statement. Kelsey, we're almost out of time, but I want to ask you one final question is, all right, what do moms, what do parents need to be doing?
First off, they need to be fighting back at the local level, pushing back on these woke ideologies that are entering their classrooms. And look, if they're not having success there, they do need to consider alternative options, whether that means sending their kid to a private school, taking a step back from their career and homeschooling. Of course, this is not the message that anyone wants. Women, again, we're doing so well under the Trump administration. If we get our economy back, if we go back to the Trump administration policies of pro-growth agendas, women will have more flexible options. But if we pursue this massive spending package that Biden is proposing, I know it sounds great on its face. We women are struggling. I'm a working mom. I get it. It's hard to afford everything we want to provide for our children, but there are better ways the government can help parents and empower, and that means empowering them through tax credits so that parents have more choice and flexibility when it comes to choosing their own types of childcare arrangements and education.
Kelsey, I think you're absolutely right, and we're going to encourage parents to do the same. Kelsey Bowler, thanks so much for being with us. Great to talk with you today.
Thank you.
All right, folks, check out her her articles she's written. I've got a link on my website, tonyperkins.com. Look, this is not the time to be silent. This is a time to push back. This is a massive, I know we've kind of been desensitized to these big spending bills, trillions of dollars. I mean, this is massive. Over $4 trillion in these two packages, the quote-unquote jobs plan, infrastructure plan, and the American Families Plan. You know, our families will be paying for this for generations if we survive. I mean, this is going to, we'll talk about this later, what it's going to do to the economy, because we're out of time for today. But don't be silent. Push back on this stuff, and by all means, get involved in your child's education. That is absolutely critical. All right? We're going to be talking a lot about that in the days ahead. All right, folks, thanks so much for joining us. Check out the website, tonyperkins.com. Lots of resources there for you so that you can be a participant in this republic of ours. Until next time, I leave you once again with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.